Okay, this is episode number 6 of Antimeme Radio. This is Logic, and our guest for this episode is...
This is Duel.
Okay, the opening music for this show, I apologize in advance, is going to be incredibly painful to hear, but it has to be done because it emphasizes a point that we're making about this show, the show topic, and the topic is art. Okay, back from that crappy music. That was from Nickelback, two different songs. You've probably heard both of them before, but now we get to hear them at the same time and see how similar they are. So I guess the first thing that I'd like to discuss about art, and not really the corporation's influence on art in this sense, kind of indirectly, but the whole idea of there being a formula in art, not just music, there's other things too, but specifically this was what it was in, was music. It is arguably pretty obvious that there was a formula that Nickelback was using, if you can place both those songs together so easily and have them work like disgustingly as well as that did.
Well, and that's absolutely what it is. It's this mishmash, basic foundation of art, right? Media, whether it's motion pictures or music, that will appeal to the most people. It is a formula.
Yeah. And I've actually done some reading around, because when I was searching like who was the actual author of who put those songs together, I wanted to give credit where credit was due, but I couldn't find them. But anyway, I found a bunch of discussion about that the specific song, you know, actually arguments on the other side, because I kind of wanted to see what the other side had to say, and people were trying to defend the whole formula thing, but I don't think they clearly saw what they were arguing, because I see two different concepts. I see a formula, but I also see style, and I think they're arguing thinking that the formula was equated to style, and I don't necessarily think the same thing. Like, I don't mind style. Style's great, but as far as formula, I'm thinking, you know, you have exact same chords and exact same spots, exact same breaks, exact same rhythms, and the exact same goddamn places. That is a formula. I don't see how that could be considered a style when those exact things are in the exact same places for supposedly different songs. And even if you do have a formula, which I guess it's okay if it sounds good, but come on, I mean, be a little bit convincing. If you're one band with a formula, why don't you use a few different formulas? Because there's not just one out there, you know? At least Absolutely. Do that, you know?
Well, and it goes beyond, as mentioned earlier, it goes beyond music, right? It goes into motion picture, and it goes into traditional. That's one of the reasons why I'm here. My wife is an artist. She owned a gallery, ran a gallery for an amount of time, and it has become in this world where people don't want what goes outside what might call that formula, right? You know, I don't want to see this crazy movie. I don't want to go see that crazy art, you know, and I'm not talking about the art that makes the news because, you know, some guy used his urine, and that's art, whatever, but no, there's so much more in this world, right, that people can experience, and I'll talk more about it later.
Yeah, I haven't heard about that one, but as far as the movies thing goes, since you pointed that out, formulaic movies, I probably see more often than I see formulaic art, especially comedy movies, you know, it's just like, it's hard for me to see a comedy movie anymore just because it is kind of annoying. It's like when you come across somebody that says a lot, you know, they say in between everything, you like start, well, and I say like too much, but you start, if it gets really bad, you start to count how many times they say it, and you can't even focus on the content itself because you're paying attention to the you know, like, and with the formulaic movies, I just see that formula, and I can't focus on what's so funny or great about the movie. I just see that formula, and I'm so focused on it. Like, I saw that in the last movie, and it's kind of annoying.
You know what I've seen in every commercial for every comedy movie in the last, I don't know, year or two? It's the hapless, bumbling man slipping in a seat, flying up and falling on his back, or the other way, face first in a big pool of goop like it was some Nickelodeon cartoon. Everything's like that, or something squirting in their face. It's just, it is absolutely
important. Yeah, anything to do with bodily functions, too, that always has to be added. And not that shit's not funny, you know, it's just, it's... Who it's actually coming from? Like, okay, Sony makes a dick and fart joke. It just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems like it'd be more funny if it is a little bit from people that actually would find that funny. I think they just make it funny because that makes them money. But I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if that's okay or not.
And what is it? So, you know, the bottom line, what is it? And you said it's not about the negative corporate influence on art, right? You know, on performance.
Yeah.
But, you know, really, that's what it is. We're talking about the bottom line here. What is guaranteed cake?
Yeah.
It is the idiot, right? It's the boob who lands on his ass and the dog licks the goop off his face. You know? That's what it is. And
I'm not denying that it's funny or anything. It's, you know, it still is funny, but they're not doing it, I don't think, to be funny for funny's sake, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you're right. It definitely could be funny. It definitely could be funny, but not 65 times in a row.
Yeah. Definitely. Now, as far as back to the whole music thing, one other negative side I see with kind of how it's going right now. And again, there is a positive side effect of this negative thing that can happen, but quotas in the record industry. When you sign on with most major big labels, you have a quota of how many albums you have to put out. And sometimes not even how many albums, but you got to have a certain amount of hits per album. And my take on that, the reason I think that's bad, is that art should be inspired, not required, right?
Right. Well, here's an example. How many great artists that have come out? Let's take Korn, for example. Now, how many groups, artists are allowed to grow like that? Are allowed to, yeah, okay, we're going to give you leeway. We're going to let you do your own thing and kind of grow as an artist. And I'll bet, just because I can see your talent, that you're going to sell a lot of records. Probably not many. Or we would see more bands like Korn.
Well, actually, you know? Good that you bring up Korn, because, you know, I used to be into them, actually. Though it obviously seems that I'm into punk a little bit more now. But with Korn, their first couple albums, the one thing that I would say that they had going album for them was it seemed a lot more sincere. You know, the content of it was like, yeah, our life sucked, we were abused, a lot of stuff like that. But by the third and fourth album, it seems kind of weird that they're still kind of whining about that. But even they said later on, like, we are forced by our record label to put out these albums, and we'll be glad when we're out of this contract so we can do our own stuff. I think
really?
I think it was Head that was saying that, the rhythm guitar player.
Well, then how about how Red Hot Chili Peppers? Do you think they, you know, were they allowed, were they given the leeway to say yep, or were they say, you know what, you've got this good sound that's on records, keep doing it,
I don't know.
And then as a consumer, you know, how are we supposed to know?
Yeah, well, you know, and like a lot of things that are underground, you really have to seek it out, which kind of sucks, but that's why
we're definitely going to address that later too.
Yeah, but as far as art goes, again, I would say that it's a lot better when it's inspired, you know, and not forced, which I'm not trying to place all blame on the record industries right now. I mean, you know, who's to say that, like, Mozart, you know, wasn't being pushed, not by somebody else, but by himself, because he had to make a living, you know, to support his drinking habit, but, you know, he had to make money to support himself, and that would be what pushed him, not necessarily inspiration, but, hey, I gotta make a check. So I'm not putting all blame on the record industry, but I am putting blame where blame is due as well, you know. And I also do think that art does come out a lot better when it is creatively inspired. Before I get to the commercial, just another kind of quick point I'd like to make about the RIAA. I'm not going to necessarily beat this horse to death because it's already dead. It's just kind of an off point that I'd like to make about it. But the whole reason for its existence, I would compare it to the FCC, you know, especially even in modern times, how it's all developed as well. It's a great analogy, but the FCC started out, was put into place as a kind of police of technical specifications, frequencies and such and all that. Now, RIAA was actually put in place for the same reason, for vinyl records, to, I guess, police the RPMs to make sure it's a standard, to also specify the frequency range that these records would have. And they're just put there to make sure that all the vinyl records were in the same standard so they would play on the same players, you know, and that I do agree with that. That does make things a lot easier, but that was why they're put into place. And arguably, they're not doing the same thing anymore. And I say that I compare it with FCC because though they are still doing a lot of technical specifications, they're also saying that you can't say fuck. So
again, my wife is an artist. I'm very fortunate. I have wonderful art in my home. She had a gallery for quite some time here in the Southwest. It was affordable modern art. It was a great market because it didn't really exist here. She had great artists come in, and unfortunately, it did not do well. It had to go away because it just wasn't selling. Now, why is that? This is a good-sized city, lots of people, probably, you know, maybe not as much disposable income as others, but still, you would think, yeah, there's people that like it. A lot of people came and showed up, but a lot of people didn't spend money. Maybe the right people didn't come. I don't know why, you know, there's so many things that went into it, but one of the things why I think, one of the big reasons why I think, and again, this is a 30,000-foot view, is that people really aren't as interested or they are not admired by what should be true art in their lives. And they are too, you know, too taken up by fast food and the right logos on their clothes and the coolest cell phone and, you know, and driving the right car. You know, maybe people should step back and look and say, I get this kind of feeling when I look at this kind of painting. And then maybe, you know, become a patron of those kinds of paintings. So that, again, is such a high-level view that I hope everybody takes that away. Is that don't let the things in your life become you, right? Make sure that you include art and reading and music, wonderful music, not the top 40 stuff. Not that it's not good, but just include more of that in your life. And we're going to talk about how you can do that and great sources of that at the commercial.
Finally, here it is, the 7-Up Backpack. Here, Kenny, try it on. Not only does it have our logo, I've loaded it with an entire case.
Whoa!
7-Up. Roll over, Kenny, you're hiding the logo.
Okay, Duel, what did you think about that commercial?
Wow, you know, when I have seen the commercial, and when I first saw it, I didn't think much of it. Hey, it's kind of funny, the kid fell down. It kind of changed my perspective, and if you could talk about that right now, I think everybody would appreciate it.
Well, yeah, it's the logo thing. I mean, and I've actually seen the commercial before. I was kind of big into culture jamming and everything, and I did get that bland reaction. I was like, haha, that's funny. I love those 7-Up commercials. I would never say that anymore, though. I mean, I don't watch TV purely for the reason of I hate the commercials and they insult insult me, but it's like a blatant logo thing. It's like, wear our logo, and if you don't, well, what the fuck, you know? Like, you fell on my logo, what? You know, and I guess it's easy to push over on people because there is that element of humor in there. So instead of going, wait, they're like pushing the logo on me, but they, oh, ha, ha, something's funny, you know, and it goes right past. I mean,
it seems almost a little insidious, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little. So, yeah, and I'm, you know, I'm not boycotting 7-Up or anything, but that kind of does piss me off a little bit. I think
they actually do have a diet soda with that aspartame.
Well, there you go. I think we've like pretty much boycotted all the big three companies, like Coca Killer and like Pepsi, and now the 7-Up Dr. Pepper group of people, which I hear that they've been traded around by Pepsi and Coke like back and forth. I don't know, but yeah. Well, and I'm not gonna. Don't quote me on that, but... Oh, yeah, actually, one other thing that I'd like to mention, like, not kind of off the topic of this show, but a couple things that kind of need to be said just in review of some criticism. I just don't want people to get the wrong idea. I'm not about anti-business. That's not what I'm about. I'm more about, or we're more about, ethical business. A business putting out a good product, I definitely support. So I'm not like, oh, anarchy, down with the man, kind of. I'm not like down with everybody, down with all the business. That's not what I'm about. So it just seems like some people may get that impression. Just, I guess.
I'm in violent agreement.
Yeah,
that's
violent
not what
agreement.
This is about. It's about responsible, it's about thoughtful business and consumption.
Mm-hmm. Also, let me reiterate, even though I said it in the first and maybe second and third episode, I'm going to say it again, and I'm almost considering making like a public service announcement at the beginning of every episode, but again, I'm a noob, alright? Like, I'm not trying to act authoritative and be the know-all and say-all. I don't want people to get that impression. I'm just trying to, you know, start discussion, hopefully, if anything, but just to try to introduce new ideas, because we're learning too, so.
Absolutely.
Now we're gonna get back to the topic at hand with art, and more on the side of how we can take art back, how it can be used as, how would you put it, Duel, an instrument?
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting. You know, if I may, the term was brought up, weapon, right? How to use art as a weapon. Well,
yeah.
You know, it, actually, if you think about it, propaganda from way back all the way to today even, right? Art can be used as a weapon. It definitely can be used for nefarious means. But here, that's absolutely not what we're trying to convey. We're trying to say, look, art can be an instrument towards the betterment of our side, for everybody, everybody's life. And that's your, I know everybody listening right now is saying, you know what? You're a dumbass. That sounds silly. Well, no, let us show you a few things, give you a few examples, and maybe if you start getting into it a little bit, you know, here, a little bit there yourself, you'll see what we mean.
Yeah, and actually, just you can go ahead and take the first start at it. I mean, you were talking about the art cards to me just yesterday, and I thought that was, like, totally elite. It's a good idea.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Now, this, and this is a great tie-in. A lot of these examples we're going to give, you know, on the latter part of the show are going to tie into the technology part, right? Culture jamming for hackers. You'd be surprised how many people love technology are very artistic, right? You have digital art, you have, you know, 3D modeling, all that wonderful, wonderful, magical stuff. We're going to talk right now about an analog version of art, and that is art card. About 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago, 1996, 1997, an artist in Europe thought, hey, you know, he was in Canada, saw people adults trading a hockey card, right? Hockey trading card. And he said, what a wonderful medium. So he started making art on basically little cardboard cards the size of, you know, your favorite board trading card. And it's just blown up. And the internet, of course, is a great way to show off these cards and trade them with people. And the art is just amazing. And I mean, what a great medium, you know? It's affordable, it's personal. You know, if you're into collecting, right, it's easy and inexpensive to collect. A great site is art-card.org. And you go there and they have galleries and ways to trade. And it's a wonderful medium. So there, right there, if you have any interest at all in art, you can spend little to no money, make your own, buy your own, you know, trade. It's great.
Yeah, and I'll include those website addresses in the notes side of it, along with some other addresses as well.
Great, thank you.
Yeah. And let's see, what else should we talk about? Like graffiti, maybe?
I think graffiti is a great one. You know, I wouldn't recommend destroying property to anybody.
No.
You know,
unless it's the corporation's property.
You know, get on a giant billboard blocking beautiful scenery, well, you know, it happens.
Well, and that's that is a corporation doing graffiti. That's their style of graffiti, in my
opinion. Absolutely.
So we're taking it back. back.
Also ways, here where I live, there you can go downtown. There are a lot of places where walls have been given to graffiti artists. There are awesome pieces of art. The colors and graphics are amazing. And a lot of them have a really good message. It's not just, you know, this graffiti artist's name, you know, 10 feet high. They have a wonderful message. Probably one of the most powerful messages. And here, again, it is an instrument. Here, not again, corporations, but an instrument to get the message to government. Banksy, if anybody's heard of Banksy, artist UK, if I'm correct, made these wonderful pieces of graffiti art on the West Bank Wall, right? The wall that's between Israel and Palestine. And it's surreal, it's striking, you know, to have this Berlin-like wall with two giant comfy chairs and a window showing the beautiful scenery. A wonderful use of art.
Yeah, and it impacts pretty much everybody. See, that's the cool thing about art, is just that it hits a level on people that you don't get from reading a technical manual, you know?
Like, absolutely.
It's kind of harder for me to explain that one, but it works the same with me. And also, you know, that's another thing, like, that it seems that people get the wrong impression about overly technical people, that because we're overly technical, we're not into art, or vice versa. Like, you know, the whole myth that, you know, back in the day when you're first learning in school, they think, okay, well, if you're into math, that means you suck at English, or if you're into English, you suck at math, which I think is total bullshit. I mean, okay, I think I'm talking to the right crowd here, but I would think of it as like, okay, take your favorite role-playing game. Say a normal person has like 50 intelligence points, and most people would think, okay, well, if you have 30 points in math, that means you only have 20 left in English. Well, no, what I'm saying is that, first off, one doesn't have to take away from the other, but second, who's to say that somebody else doesn't have 100 hit points, you know, or 100 intelligence points, you know, and they may have 50 of each. Well, shit, that means, in normal consideration, 50, that would take all of most people's stuff, but no, I have another 50 on the other side, you know? I don't know if that makes any sense, but I think it's kind of stupid.
The Dungeons & Dragons character is a great analogy. That's a great analogy.
But the big point, I mean, to illustrate it mostly, take almost any of our underground internet radio shows, especially the hacking ones. Dude, I'm struggling to find one that does not have opening music, you know? It's like, is there any reason to not have the music? Is there any technical reason to have the music? Not really.
Not at all.
For the love of art, you know? And we're one of those. So anyway, I'm sorry.
Dude, that was another great example.
Well, and I guess, okay, and I really got to give props to BinRev, because they've always been one to do unlabeled music. There's hardly any times I think there was one time when they played Rufio, which is a label band, but they, I think, got permission from them to do that, so that was pretty cool. And I'm not saying that, you know, it's wrong to do labeled music. I just think it's really cool that they open up to alternative music, because I've actually found a lot of cool bands that I wouldn't have easily found if it wasn't for them, like Compressor. That's the funniest shit ever. I'll include a link to that, but like adding up numbers is fun.
Compressor might.
Yeah. But yeah, BinRev, it's just a great show, period. But the fact that they have the really, really cool different closing music, and even the opening music from Zurl, which, again, as using art as an instrument, he qualifies very well on that. And I'm not even into rap that much, but I am into Zurl, because it is some pretty good stuff, and I'll include a link to him.
Zurl, you give me goosebumps. That is some good stuff.
Yeah.
Now, this is a great segue. So, Logic, how do I find such great music like that?
You know, there's a lot of stuff around. I was just kind of Googling around, and I did find a site called unsigned-music.com. There is one trick that I used to use. I don't think they have the listing anymore, but XM Radio, whether you're for it or not, they have a channel that only plays unlabeled music. And on their website, they used to have a listing of all the bands that were in the rotation. And for every band, it wasn't just like a plain text listing. It was a hyperlink to their website, so you could go to the website and download their music. And I used to use that as a tool to find a lot of bands that I wouldn't have found before. But I couldn't find it again, so I may not link to it. But pretty much the best tool is Google, and I'd hate to say it, but it's not as easy as it used to be when we had mp3.com, which really sucks that we lost that one, because that was like one of the best things that we had. But fortunately, it seems like other ones are popping back up.
Well, the XM, I didn't know about that, and that's a great use of technology, that XM, that unsigned channel on XM Radio.
Yeah, I really dug it. No, did you have any closing ideas before we wrap this up?
I do. You know, I've already begged and pleaded, you know, to go to a gallery, to listen to some music that you won't hear on the radio. So I'm not going to do that again. What I am going to do is ask everybody to, this is almost even more important, to spread that information, right? To spread that idea that, hey, you know, hey, my buddy, you know, maybe we don't have to go to the mall. Maybe we can go check this out. And yeah, it's probably a learned thing, and maybe it is a demographic thing, something you appreciate as you get older, I'm not sure. But spreading that knowledge, right? Giving, you know, just feeding that idea in another person is going to be really valuable for the world.
And I've seen it work. It does spread. As far as shouts on my end, I'll start, and it's just going to be kind of the same shout that I gave a couple episodes ago. But again, my local coffee shop, Counterculture, the reason I give the shout this time, though, I actually have a reason, is as far as the art goes, they have a really, really cool underground art gallery there, and they always have some really, really cool stuff there. They also have a lot of underground bands that play there as well. This stuff that you wouldn't normally see when you're trying to, you know, if you go to Ticketmaster, you're not really going to see these kinds of things show up, so I really like going to the place for that. That and free Wi-Fi, but...
Yeah, your Wi-Fi's always good.
And do you have any shouts or props or anything like that?
I do. I'm going to mimic you and give some shouts to my locally owned coffee chain where I spend a lot of time, Satellite Coffee. They use fair business practices when they buy their beans. I know that. And Chef Seth and Donnie there, my buddy Seth. Also, I want to give shouts to my wife, a wonderful artist. Shouts to you and this great show. Thank you for having me on. And right now, at this very moment, I am looking at a painting called Pluto Warming by an artist named Tobias that I bought in my wife's gallery. So shouts to Tobias. I love that painting.
Sweet. I guess I'll just leave it with the closing phrase, question everything, including the motivation of some of your art.
Kick back, watch it crumble. See the drowning, watch the fall. I feel just terrible about it. That sarcasm, let it burn. Gonna make a toast when it falls apart. I'm gonna rain my glass upon my heart. Then someone shouts, that's what they get. For all the years of hidden rubber on the pit bump that I'm VH1. Where did all their money go? Don't we all know? Parasitic music industry. Acid, destroy yourself. We'll show them how it's supposed to be. From devotion, not ambition, not for fame. Zero people are exploited. There are no tricks up our sleeve.